Welcome to Quest for Gold, your weekly update on the games headed into Tokyo. I'm Ryan Burrow. The International Olympic Committee met with Tokyo organizers this week. They rolled out a second round of the so-called playbooks. These are the guidelines for holding the Olympic Games safely during the pandemic. This latest round calls for Olympic athletes to be tested for COVID-19 daily. They do not need to quarantine, though. Athletes do not need to be vaccinated, though many nations are strongly urging their athletes to get COVID-19 shots. Coaches, officials, and others who are not athletes will be tested daily for 3 days after they arrive, and then regularly during the games, depending on their roles and contact with athletes. They're also being told to minimize their exposure to the Japanese public. The playbook comes as Japan and the IOC continue to try to build confidence in the Japanese people that the games will be safe. Polling has shown many residents don't want the games to take place. Japan this week crossed 10,000 COVID-19 related deaths. The death toll has doubled over the last 3 months. The next playbook will address spectators, and that'll be released in June. On this week's Athlete Spotlight, we chat with USA Judo's Nefeli Papadakis, who at 22 is looking to make her first and hopefully not last Olympic appearance.
It looks like you had a pretty eventful but successful week south of the border.
Yeah, we were in Mexico and Guadalajara for Pan American Championships this past week. I took third this time. We had another Pan Ams a couple months ago in November. They did two continental championships for judo because of coronavirus, and the first one was kind of short-term planning. Like, we only had a couple weeks to kind of figure out how to get out there. So I think that's why they did two, to give everyone an opportunity to go in later months if they can. So it was good overall, though. I needed the matches and kind of experience.
Is that part of the qualifying process, or is this just you trying to get your feet wet and try to get back into the cycle?
It's both. We've been in the cycle, but again, like, a lot of other countries have not been able to travel as easily as we have. So it's been, we've had probably a tournament every month since November. So judo's been like back on the regular tour, regular qualification cycle for a couple months now. But for some, Pan Ams was the first tournament back for them since COVID hit.
I saw the CDC just kind of put out there that 80%, they're not recommending travel to about 80% of the countries internationally. Does that impact you? I mean, are most of these tournaments taking place outside of the U.S. borders?
Oh, yeah. Every single tournament we've been to has been in Europe, or the farthest one's probably been Uzbekistan. So we've had to get, you know, travel visas. And for, I think, every tournament we've been to, we've had to have a visa or at least a letter of like invitation from the tournament and from the government. So it's been a lot more of a process than usual. It's not just, all right, here's my passport, I'm checked in, I'm going. You need your COVID testing. We need all our visas. We need like a bunch more documentation to be able to get in.
What's the travel been like when you're jumping on these planes? Because a lot of people haven't traveled for the last year. I mean, is it weird? Do they have spaces between everyone?
No. In the beginning they did, and I think that's just because less people were traveling. But now that people are a little bit less, now that people are a little bit more relaxed, I would say the international flights have been like, I've been filled rows for my seats. I haven't really had space, but I wear my N95 and it's kind of all I can do. I don't know.
Now, where are you at as far as qualification to this point? How many steps do you have to go? I know it's not a sure thing yet, but obviously USA felt pretty confident putting you at the media summit that you've got a pretty significant shot at going to Tokyo.
Yeah. So right now I'm still directly qualified. They take like the top 18 spots for each weight class. And I think I'm at 17 or 16 for that right now. So I'm still in it. And we have two more events left before qualification's over. So we have a tournament in Russia in the beginning of May. And then we have our world championships in the beginning of June. And then that's it.
So you're trying to accumulate points. Is it a point system to be in that 18? And that's 18 worldwide. That's not a Team USA 18.
Correct.
Okay. So is there any kind of cap on how many Americans can compete at any given time?
So there, for each weight class, there's only, well, for qualification at least, there's only, you know, you can only have your top person from each country. So even if there's like Let's say from France, there's like four girls from France that are all very good. They're all in the top 10. Only one of them can go to the games. So that's kind of how it filters out with that. For the U.S., there's not really another another female in my weight that's qualified right now. So I don't have – we don't really have that problem. Judo's a lot smaller in this country. So we don't really have U.S. athletes battling each other head-to-head for the spot. But on an international level, we definitely – we have a couple out there. I think right now it's – there's three of us directly qualified. And then we have one that's – a continental quota, which is like a wild card. So it's just the next person with the most points gets a spot on the team.
Okay. What's the last year been like for you? I know that you live in the northern suburbs. You're usually on a non-pandemic year, you train, I believe, in Chicago, right? Do you have a location in Chicago that you train at? Has that been completely closed down?
My actual dojo training center has been closed down this entire time, still not open, but we have a space in the city where, like, downtown Chicago, where I've been training with a group of like 6 to 7 of my training partners. So honestly, it hasn't been so different the past couple months, because it might be more efficient in a way. Like, I know that sounds kind of bad, but it's the same bodies I had before, and we just all committed to kind of making a bubble and being like, you know, very careful. We were getting tested regularly in the beginning months, in like the March, April, kind of the beginning. And then after the summer came, or after the summer ended, we tested like once a month, because I started competing a lot. So it was getting a little hard to keep up with all that. And at this point, I think everyone I train with has been vaccinated, besides maybe one or two, because they're a little younger. They're like 18 and 19 years old. But once appointments opened up to everyone in Chicago, they got on that. So,
and you're fully vaccinated?
I am, yeah.
All right. How did you handle the first and second dose?
I was fine. First dose, I was totally fine. I just had a little sore arm, but I was good. And the second dose definitely hit me a little bit harder, like they were saying it would. I had like a light fever, and I was just kind of tired. I don't think it was not as bad as some stories I've heard. I was thankful for that, but I was just out for like a day. I took a day off, and then 2 days later I went back to judo. I was fine.
But U.S. Olympic Committee hasn't told you, or IOC hasn't said anything, that you need to be vaccinated before they have. I'm assuming they're encouraging athletes to get vaccinated.
They haven't said anything like that. I heard, I think it was just a rumor, but that, they'd be open to helping us get vaccinated or get access to a vaccine in May. But I mean, we're judo, at least we're traveling a lot, you know, we're doing Olympic qualifiers, and our sport is so face-to-face contact with everyone. I was a little unwilling to risk waiting that long. So I did like this volunteer program, at a vaccination site, so I could get it a little earlier.
Oh, fantastic. All right. So in the early stages of the pandemic, I know the training was interesting for you. We messaged back and forth, and I know too, from what you said at the media summit, you trained with a dummy. It sounds like for at least 3 months.
Yep.
Did you name the dummy? Does it have a name?
I didn't have a solid name for the dummy.
Okay.
I know.
Is it still an important part of your life?
You know what? Kind of. It's, I use it on off days. I don't drive because I live in Gurnee, so it's like an hour 15 drive to get down to downtown Chicago. So we have judo 4 days a week down there, and the other 3 days, like in the mornings, I'll use it for fit-ins and stuff. I'll still throw it around for kicks, but not as essential as it used to be.
Maybe if you medal, that's where the medal goes, right?
You're there through it all.
Oh, I do find it interesting. You've got a very unique situation because your father is actually your coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he, in theory, he's in your bubble. So you guys have been able to continue training to the extent that you can train. And I do think this is interesting also, because while all the other athletes are struggling to say, no, my family can't come and visit me if I go to Tokyo. I can't bring my kids. I can't bring my parents who have been with me. I would assume that he would qualify to go if he's your coach, right? Do we know?
I would love that, but unfortunately, no. There's, you know, the U.S., the United States as a whole only gets so many coaches and staff for each sport. And judo, you know, we're a smaller sport. We're probably only qualifying 4 to 5 athletes for these games. So they appoint like one head coach and I think one assistant coach. But after they announced that they weren't going to allow foreign spectators to the Olympics, I'm 99% sure they had to like shrink the actual delegation size of the United States team. So now we don't even know if we're going to get training partners out there. Everything's kind of up in the air still with that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a bummer because I know that, yeah. You know, it's one thing to be able to go out and compete. That's exciting. It's another thing to have the family who's been so supportive of you throughout this process. That's going to be a challenge because they're going to have to watch from somewhere else. Do you have any idea what these games are going to look like? Like, have you been told about, I don't even know if you've had a chance to look at your venue at all or see kind of what the setup's going to be.
Yeah. So it's cool for judo. We actually in 2019 had our world championships in Tokyo. So we got to compete in the actual venue that we'd be competing in the Olympic games. So I have an idea of like the stadium, the feel. I don't know because I haven't been to an Olympics before. This is really my first like run. So it's, I don't really know what to expect it generally. I know that at least because we've been doing tournaments so consistently for judo qualifying that I'll at least be familiar with the COVID protocols, you know, like going in, getting tested right away when you arrive at the airport, doing your quarantine for 24 hours, I'm assuming. We haven't gotten like all those details yet, but I would assume it'll be the same or very similar to what I'm doing now. So that's going to be good in a way, like mentally, because I won't feel out of place. I won't be like, oh, this is weird. Like, why are we in our rooms for this long? Why am I taking this test for the fourth time on this trip? Like, it's kind of going through the motions for me at this point. So
are you feeling good about the protocols they've put into place or they've communicated to you? First of all, that you'll be safe. And second of all, that these games will actually happen. Because I know you never, every day, it seems like there's a new piece of information coming out of Japan.
Right. I think at this point I'm very confident the games will happen. Honestly, purely from a financial standpoint, the fact that they postpone these games, like now they're definitely having them. It's so close out and they've spent so much money, to keep the ball rolling that at this point for them to cancel them, I knock on wood. I don't really see it happening, but, I think they've taken everything into account that they can, you know, at the tournaments I've been attending so far, we have to get 2 negative tests, the week before we fly out. And then once you arrive to whatever country you're going to, you have to get another PCR test on site, quarantine for 24 hours, and then you're allowed to leave your room. And then the morning of your weigh-in, which for judo is the day before you compete, you get another PCR test to like confirm that you're 100,000,000% negative. So I think, you know, you almost get tested every day you're out there, which might seem excessive, but again, our sport is very, very high contact. So it makes sense, you know, and I think it's not the biggest deal. You get used to it.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously in your sports with the physical contact there, you're not so much worried about you as a person who, you know, you're set up against. So that's obviously a concern. You obviously had a lot of testing during the pandemic. Did everything go fine with you and your family over this span?
Yeah. Thank God we somehow, knock on wood again, like we've been okay.
I want to go back to your training a little bit. When the pandemic first hit, you could have gone 2 avenues, right? Or maybe you could have balanced it out. Maybe you did. Need to rest my body. This is an opportunity for me to kind of step away from the sport a little bit, try to, you know, get my head in the right place, maybe relax a little bit. We're in this for the long haul. Number 2, let's accelerate the training. Let's make sure that we hit the ground running. So when 2021 comes around, you know, we're maybe even in a better spot than we were in 2020. What was your mental approach going into this, you and your dad, as you kind of laid out this plan for you coming up to the games?
Yeah, honestly, it was a hybrid of both of those things. in the very, very beginning of the pandemic, it was obviously a lot mentally and like stress wise to hear that the games were getting postponed. And cause we didn't really know what was going to happen, but after they announced that it was postponed and not canceled, it kind of lit the fire under me again. And I was like, okay, you know, you need to use this time to excel. Where I was a year ago, you know, I'm on the younger side for, I'm the youngest person on the US team, at least right now it's qualified. So it's kind of, it's a big experience. It's a huge thing in any sport, especially in judo. So I had to really use this year to improve on the things that I did not have in my arsenal from my matches, from my game. I tried to use it as much as I could to like study a lot of the girls I was fighting. So it proved to be helpful in that. I had an injury in the beginning of the pandemic. I had hurt my ribs, and ribs are something that you really can't tape up and just get back out there. Like it sucks. You know, it hurts to breathe. And in judo, if you're getting thrown on your back, on your ribs all the time, like they're not going to heal. So I would say I took it easy for a month or two. And then I had to start again. It's, you know, doing judo every day, sometimes twice a day, and training all the time, going from 100 to zero was not, you know, it wasn't good for me, like physically, mentally. So I was very motivated to get back to it.
What was that first tournament like? Because you probably had, everyone was in the same boat. Everyone was amped up. So, and everyone was healthy, right? Because everyone had this time. So, you know, was the game elevated when you got back, or was there still a lot of rust that people had to knock off?
The first one, there was a lot of rust, and I think that was for everyone. Our sport, again, we were used to competing every like 3 weeks, every 2 weeks. You know, there's always a tournament, always an event. So having nothing for like even 3 months sounds ridiculous, but having nothing for our 8 months is a really long time for every single one of us. So I think everyone was a bit rusty those first two competitions, but after that, you know, it started picking up. And by this point, I would say everyone's pretty much back to their normal form. And because we're so close to the games now, so everyone's kind of building up to be able to peak in Tokyo.
You think you're in a better position now, or you're better along in your career now than you were just as the pandemic was hitting?
I do. I had a lot of like fine details that I needed to work on. Just like small mistakes I'd make in matches, or even like strategy wise, like what I need to change. It gave me a lot of time to really watch the videos of my fights and like analyze it. You know, you don't always have a lot of time to train during an Olympic qualification year because you have tournaments this week, you have tournaments 10 days from now, you're flying out, and then you have a camp, and then you have this. So it was a lot of things being thrown at you all at once. And it's hard to find the time to sit down with your coach or whoever and just be like, okay, I need to work on this and this and this, like this list of things, and that's it. So it gave me that opportunity to be able to capitalize on all the time we had off, for sure.
What'd you do during your downtime? Did you binge on TV shows? Did you pick up a new hobby?
You know, I did my fair mix of both. I binged on TV shows. I built that little basement dojo I have going on right now. And I started working out early in the pandemic, man. Like I have an older brother who also lives at home with me, and he, you know, he started working out with me after a couple months. I started lifting a lot more because that wasn't as regular as it should have been a year ago. But now I've definitely implemented that like into my weekly routine.
I was hoping that you'd have some new sourdough bread recipes for me or something, but you didn't become a chef or anything?
Unfortunately, no. I started school. I started online school at DeVry, so that was good. I put my education on a hold a little bit there because I was like, oh yeah, in a couple months, you know, we'll be done with qualifying. Then I'll be able to start school. And obviously, we're still not done with qualifying, and it's been a year. So I'm really glad I picked back up with that, and I'm working on my degree now.
And you were actually teaching kids too, right? Were you training kids or coaching I assume that's been shut down?
Yeah, that's been shut down. So I just kind of, I run judo with the kids. I train with like 18 and 19 year olds, but I still call them
kids. Sure.
But, you know, they're still learning some not fundamental things, but they're learning how to apply the higher level things right now. So it's still, you know, sometimes the best way to learn something or burn something into your brain as a strategy is to teach it. So it's still helpful for me, even though I have to take some time to like work with them. It's all for the better.
Are you mentally putting yourself at the games? Like, are you already in that headspace where I'm going to be in Tokyo, or, you know, is that dangerous to think that far in advance with steps you still have to take?
Yes. I'm putting I'm like manifesting it, right? Like, I'm like, you know, you've worked for this. I show up to tournaments and leave it all out there, whatever I got, you know? But I don't say like, oh yes, I'm qualified. 'Cause you know, technically you're not, it's not over till it's over. So I'm just one of those people. I don't know.
All right. Well, let me put you in that space real quick. Let's say they do have an opening ceremony. I know you're a basketball fan, right?
Yeah.
Is there a USA men's or women's basketball player that you want to get a selfie with?
Oh my gosh. Literally any of them. Literally any of them, like Stephen Curry, LeBron James, like the big names. Like, I just think it'd be really cool, but obviously I'm pretty sure everyone's going to try to do that. So.
Sure. Are there any sports you're interested in? I mean, if you know, a swimmer goes by, or, you know, Simone Biles walks by.
Simone Biles. Yeah. Like just the big, like super popular Team USA people, some of the previous gold medalists, even some of the wrestlers, I think it'd be cool to get pictures with. I just want to really, you know, experience it firsthand. And I think just even seeing everyone together like that is going to be, it's going to be awesome.
What's the peak of the career for judo? Are you kind of in that frame right now? Is it a little older? You said you're on the young side. So does that give you an opportunity for more games down the road?
Oh, for sure. I'm definitely going to try to do the 2024 run as well. I would say the peak for judo is really your mid-20s, so maybe 25, 26, because at that point you really have a solid, or you should have a solid like five to 6 years on the senior tour, you know, and competing against the best of the best for a set amount of time. You know, I'm probably in my third year of fighting against the senior tour. I'll say 3.5 years, but that's including COVID, you know, so it hasn't been a full experience so far. I've gotten a lot of matches. I've fought in a lot of different people, but it's different when you're, you know, I have to break through that barrier of taking fifth place at a Grand Prix, taking, you know, I need to start meddling consistently at stuff and building up from there.
So what's your next step now? What's on your calendar coming up?
I'm not fighting in Russia, but I'm training now for the Worlds in June, early June.
Thank you, Nefeli. We'll be keeping an eye on her progress as she hopes to lock up a U.S. Olympic spot in the coming months. May is a month when qualifying really ramps up for numerous sports. Next week, we'll be talking with beach volleyball standout April Ross as she eyes her third Olympic medal. I'm Ryan Burr. We'll see you next week on Quest for Gold.